This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news, only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there.
Para que la vea,
mueve
la cabeza,
a la jea, jea.
Como cabecea,
jea, jea, jea.
Saca la lengüita,
a la jea, jea.
Como que lengüe,
jea, jea, jea.
Mueve su pechito,
a la jea, jea.
Como que pechea,
jea, jea, jea.
Mueve su chichita,
a la jea, jea.
Como que chichea,
jea, jea, jea.
Mueve la pancita,
a la jea, jea.
Como que pancea,
jea, jea, jea.
Mueve la cintura,
a la jea, jea.
Como cinturea,
jea, jea, jea.
Mueve la cadera,
a la jea, jea.
Como caderea,
jea, jea, jea.
Mueve la nalguita,
a la jea, jea.
Como que nalguea,
jea, jea, jea.
A la jea, jea.
A la jea, jea.
Dicen que la iguana muerde, pero yo digo que no.
Dicen que la iguana muerde, pero yo digo que no.
Hay un hombre que sí muerde y le llaman mordelón.
Hay un hombre que sí muerde y le llaman mordelón.
Where we came in. Okay, welcome aboard to the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade here on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM. As we said from the top, this is listener-supported radio, as all of you long-time listeners know. And tonight, you, the listeners, are going to have your opportunity to support it. Now, last week, we did amazingly well. And so I've sort of got high expectations coming into it this week, although this is going to be more of a content-heavy program than last week was because we have a special guest who is joining us from Oaxaca, Mexico, which is why we opened up with the Mexican segment from the special musical compilation, which we are offering as a premium tonight. So before I tell you about the musical compilation, let me welcome aboard Miguel Ángel Vázquez de Educa, es el nombre de su grupo.
Así es.
Y eso es Servicios para una Educación Alternativa de Oaxaca, México.
Sí, así es. Buenas noches. Gracias por permitir el espacio para hablar sobre la situación de Oaxaca.
Good evening and thanks a lot for giving me
this. Is your mic on? I'm not sure I've got your mic on. I'm sorry. Take it from the top. Sorry.
Okay, good evening, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about Oaxaca.
The pleasure is ours. El placer es nuestro. And that was Todd Miller, correct?
That is correct.
Of Witness for Peace?
With Witness for Peace.
And also joining us is Ben Beachy of Witness for Peace.
Good evening.
And you're going to be telling us about the work of Witness for Peace and Educa in Oaxaca, Mexico tonight. But before you do, we have to let the listeners know once again that the number to call is 212-209-2950. And what you get from calling that number is, well, you get the honor of becoming a member of WBAI Radio. First and foremost, an extremely important alternative institution, which is in the midst of a very deep financial crisis, and which we all need to support in an extremely, I would argue, you know, desperate historical juncture. And I know that we always, you know, we always kind of give the same rap whenever we have a fundraising drive, and the fundraising drives come, you know, faster and faster, it seems. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because we are, in fact, in a financial crisis, and I hope I don't have to belabor the point that we're at a rather desperate historical juncture at the moment, with the situation in Iraq going from bad to worse, and we're looking at the final one-year end game of the Bush administration. So a minimum pledge of $25 will make you a member of WBAI Radio and make you a part of the democratic process which is unfolding here. You actually get a vote. You get a say in the direction of the station. You get a vote on the listener board. And you get the folio in the mail every month, and you become a part of the democratic process which is unfolding here at the Pacifica Network. And if you can pledge $30, in addition to all that, you also get the lovely WBAI T-shirt, which has been designed by our good friend, Uncle Sidney Smith, which has got the flaming heart, the flaming winged heart logo. And it says WBAI Radio, Radio with Heart, founded by pacifists, which, in fact, this station was low back in the early 1960s. And then a pledge of $40 will get you the extra large T-shirt, triple X, quadruple extra large T-shirt. But $65 will get you the T-shirt and the cap. But really, okay, let's cut to the chase here. Let's cut to the chase. The chase is we've got the special Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade Premium, which we are making available once again, back by popular demand, which is a compilation of all the best of the all the wonderful music which we have played on this radio show over the past 15 years that we've been doing it. We've got music from all over the world on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Now, Volume 1 is actually a 3-CD set of music which is very, very hard to find, music which is really available nowhere else. Some of it's available commercially, but not all of it. A lot of it is long since out of print, only available to collectors and real connoisseurs of these rather obscure genres from various locales around the planet, music which I picked up at market stalls down in Mexico and Central America and in the Andes and so on. Just for example, music which was sent to us by our contacts in the Berber diaspora in North Africa and France. And we just heard some of it. We heard, let's see, what did we opened up with a tune called El Relámpago by Los Polqueras de Ben Travera King, which is Norteño music from northern Mexico. And then we went into La Iguana by Chuchumbe from Veracruz. I believe that's Huapango is the genre there. Maybe one of our guests will correct me if I'm wrong. And finally, we heard from Control Machete, the rap band from Monterrey. So these are all, you know, just an example of all the distinct genres. And that's just the Mexican stuff, and not even all of the Mexican stuff, which is on, okay, that's on CD 2 of the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits, which is the 3-CD set. So CD 2 is the Latin America CD. Starts off in Mexico, goes down the isthmus to Central America. You've got that wonderful Garifuna music from the Mosquito Coast of Honduras that we closed out the show with last week. And then we go over to some Africa and Afro-Colombian music Andean music. And then in the first disc in that series is starts off with music from our own beloved New York City, including some Bhangra music from Queens. And then goes to North Africa, and we've got some of that great Berber and Tuareg music from the Sahara Desert. And then the last in the that set is the more highbrow, shall we say, of the three discs, which has got classical Persian music from Iran and medieval Arabo-Andalusian music from Morocco. And wonderful, wonderful stuff, and maybe we'll hear more of it. And then the last one, if you just want to pledge $50 as opposed to $100, you get the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits Volume 2, which is just one CD, but it's one CD with some really, really good stuff, which including let's see, where is that one? Here it is. Including the technopop version of the Ottoman military march music that we opened with last week, some of that great Alan Lomax field recordings of Italian folk music and all sorts of really, really good stuff. Some cumbias from Colombia and Ali Farka Torre doing his classic desert blues from the Sahara Desert in Mali, and et cetera. So this is all really, really good stuff. It's delicious stuff. Longtime listeners to this radio station and to this radio show in particular know that we play the best music to be found anywhere in the universe here on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, with the possible exception, I suppose, of some of our other favorite shows, such as Delphine Blue's Shocking Blue, which you were just listening to, and Andrea Clark's Sister from Another Planet. I'd say that we share that distinction with them of playing the best known music in the entire universe. And we're making it available to you tonight. So it's really important that you pledge something to keep WBAI alive and on the air. And I want to get the haranguing out of the way at the top of the show so that we can actually get to our very important interview with Miguel Angel Vasquez, an activist from Oaxaca, who we only have here for one night, who's going to give us an update on the situation in Oaxaca, which riveted many people here in New York last year and has sort of disappeared from the headlines in recent months. Despite the fact that repression continues there, as I'm sure Miguel will be telling us. And, I think I just heard a phone ringing in the background. Was I mistaken? Let me read the number one more time. It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. I would really like people to call in while we go to our interview with Miguel. And keep WBAI on the air. Get some really good music for the bargain. Become a member of this radio station and a member of the democratic process, which is unfolding here at the Pacifica Network, rife as it is with all of its discord and contradictions. But that's the way democracy always works, okay? If it's too orderly, then it really should be suspect, as I'm sure that our guest from Oaxaca will elaborate at great length. So please do call 212-209-2950. Make a minimum pledge of $25 and become a member of WBAI. Because we really are in deep fiscal crisis at the moment. And, you know, I mean, the clearest evidence of it is that for the first time, the budget, which was just passed by the station board, is a six-month budget rather than a year budget. So I don't want to sound like Chicken Little, and every time I, you know, we have a marathon, I start complaining about how the sky is falling. But, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that we were really in crisis. And it's not just a question of, you know, that we always need a certain amount of cash just to keep the place afloat, which is, of course, true. But this is really, this truly is a moment of crisis. And this truly is a moment when we need to have fighting alternative voices like WBAI on the air. So the heroic volunteers who are giving of their time and labor tonight are waiting to take your call at 212-209-2950. And you have also got to give of your time and labor, either by coming down here to the station and volunteering, or by getting on the phone and pledging some money, which is, of course, crystallized time and labor. And we understand that money is very dear, and it comes to us by the sweat of our brow, which is why people are very, very reluctant to part with it. But this is a moment when it's really imperative that you part with some of your money. Not, you know, I mean, every day without even thinking, we give money to people who don't mean us good but mean us harm, like, you know, the landlord and, you know, Verizon and Con Edison, because we really don't have any choice. Well, you know, here's a moment where you actually do have some choice, and you have to give up some money to people who do not mean you harm, but are advancing your interests and your agenda. And with your, you know, vote on the board, you actually get to help shape this institution, but you have to, you know, be a part of it in order to get the chance to do that. So once again, a minimum pledge of $25 will make you a member of WBAI. A pledge of $30 will get you the wonderful WBAI T-shirt designed by our good friend Sydney Smith, which is purple with a flaming winged heart, which happens to be the Sufi symbol, which makes it very appropriate for this radio show. And for, once again, for a pledge of $50, you get the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's greatest hits with all of this absolutely delicious music, one CD for a pledge of $50. And this is not, you know, this is a CD which I made, okay, with music, which the very, very best of the music which I have been listening to and collecting and playing over these airwaves for the past 15 years that we've been doing this radio show. So this is not a CD which you can get anywhere else, okay? And much of the music on this CD is very, very rare, very hard to find, not available in the United States at all, or completely out of print. So people who enjoy the music on this radio show, this is going to be your opportunity. A pledge of $50 gets you the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits, Volume 2. A pledge of $100 gets you the 3-CD set, which is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits, Volume 1. And but, you know, once again, it's not just about the music. It's about keeping WBAI on the air, helping us out in a moment of crisis, and sending a message to the powers that be, that the kind of, you know, ultra-dissident programming that you get at the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade is appreciated. Because we always like to say that if, you know, the Pacifica Network is the alternative to mainstream programming here in the United States of America, the alternative to commercial programming, and even the commercial, the alternative to the more domesticated non-commercial programming, such as National Public Radio, then WBAI is, you know, the most radical and intransigent voice in the Pacifica Network. And in turn, the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade is the one really uncompromising anarchist voice in particular here at WBAI. So if you appreciate the music and the interviews that we bring you about struggles such as that in Oaxaca and that of the Berbers in North Africa, of indigenous peoples struggling all over the planet, if you appreciate the rare music that we play on this show, if you appreciate Anne-Marie Hendrickson's extremely astute deconstructions of popular culture and wry sense of humor, please do show us how much you love us by calling 212-209-2950. I hear some bells ringing back there, but the tally still stands at zero. And I will feel much more comfortable getting to our interview with Miguel, who is waiting very patiently, if we could at least see that tally go up a little bit, because zero is unacceptable. Now, usually the way it works is that for the first half hour, nobody calls in, and then we despair, and we think that we're going to bomb, and then it flies ahead in the last half hour. I don't know why, what the strange psychology is behind that, but we're asking you to call in now so that we can actually get to some content and not merely harangue you. 212-209-2950. Once again, a minimum pledge of $25 makes you a member. $30 gets you a WBAI t-shirt. And let's see. And then, of course, a $40 pledge gets you the WBAI t-shirt and the WBAI hat. But really what we're asking for is a pledge of $50, which will get you the special Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade Premium, which I produced just for you, which is available nowhere else, which is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits, Volume 2, one CD set, or, well, not a set, just one CD, or Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits, Volume 1, which is the three CD set where I really went overboard and just threw all this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful music. All right, you know, I'm going to assume that the tally is, in fact, about to move, because I did hear some telephones ringing back there. You know what? Just to tease you all, we'll play one more cut from the Mexico segment of the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits, Volume 1. And then, let's see, what did I do with it? And then, hopefully, while that song is playing, the tally will, in fact, jump up at least by 100. So I'll know that we're not going to bomb tonight, and we can go to our interview with Miguel Angel Vasquez. Whoops. Here. Let's play one more. Please call 212-209-2950 while this is playing so we can get to some content tonight and not just haranguing here on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Once again, that's 212-209-2950. Here we go.
Atención, muchachas. Ya llegó su majestad. Del baile del caracuto, mi banda y mexicano francés. Cuando vas al baile, ¿qué te dice tu mamá? Cuando vas al baile, ¿qué te dice tu mamá? No bailes de caballito, que te voy a regañar. No bailes de caballito, que te voy a regañar. Cuando llegas al baile, ¿qué dice tu papacito? Cuando llegas al baile, ¿qué dice tu papacito? Vente, mamacita, a bailar de caballito. Vente, mamacita, a bailar de caballito. Por la cintura, te toma bien apretada, te coge por la cintura, tú mueves muy bien los hombros y la cadera con sabrosura, tú mueves muy bien los hombros y la cadera con sabrosura. Luego te dice al oído, ay chiquitita linda, pechocha, pepi y mamá, como te quiere tu papá, pe. Ay chiquitita linda, pechocha, pepi y mamá, como te quiere tu papá, pe. Ay chiquitita linda, pechocha, pepi y mamá, como te quiere tu papá, pe. Ay chiquitita linda, pechocha, pepi y mamá, como te quiere tu papá, pe.
de medias negras mueven muy bien la cintura. Las chicas de medias negras mueven muy bien la cintura. Los hombros también, los pies y la cadera con sabrosura. Los hombros también, los pies y la cadera con sabrosura. Germán ya lo está bailando, Jorge, Pancho y Casimiro. Germán ya lo está bailando, Jorge, Pancho y Casimiro. Bailando de caballito, con todas se dan un tiro. Bailando de caballito, con todas se dan un tiro. Cuando llegas al baile, ¿qué dice tu papacito? Cuando llegas al baile, ¿qué dice tu papacito? Vente mamacita a bailar de caballito. Vente mamacita a bailar de caballito. Luego te dice al oído: ay chiquitita linda, pechocha, pepi y mamá, cómo te quiere tu papapé. Ay chiquitita linda, pechocha, pepi y mamá, cómo te quiere tu papapé. Ay chiquitita linda, pechocha, pepi y mamá, cómo te quiere tu papapé. Ay chiquitita linda, pechocha, pepi y mamá, cómo te quiere tu papapé. Ay chiquitita linda, pechocha, pepi y mamá, cómo te quiere tu papapé. Ay chiquitita linda, pechocha, pepi y mamá, cómo te quiere tu papapé. Ay chiquitita linda, pechocha, pepi y mamá, cómo te quiere tu papapé. Ay chiquitita linda, pechocha, pepi y mamá, cómo te quiere tu papapé.
Ok, la banda mexicana con su grande éxito, Baile de Caballito. One of the many wonderful cuts which can be yours for a pledge of $100 to WBAI, in particular to the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. And I should say that this is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI, 1233 in the AM here in New York City. Please call 212-209-2950 and make a pledge. There's only one person back in tally, so we need, in addition to people to call and pledge money, we need for volunteers to come down here and answer the phone. If you can help out either way. If you don't have money, come down and answer the phone. If you can't come down and answer the phone, make a pledge. But either way, 212-209-2950 is the number to call to get you all started. And now, without further ado, bienvenidos otra vez a nuestros visitantes. Miguel Ángel Vázquez of, Servicios para una Educación Alternativa, Educa de Oaxaca, México.
Gracias y nuevamente esperamos que el público que nos escucha pueda tomar conciencia sobre la situación que pasa en México.
Thank you very much, and again we were hoping that the people that are listening to this program will be able to have their conscience raised about Oaxaca.
And I should say that was translating for us, Todd Miller of Witness for Peace.
Yes.
And also joining us is Ben Beachy, who's going to tell us something about the work that Witness for Peace is doing in Oaxaca, correct?
Sure, yeah, I can talk about that briefly. Well, right now we're on the speaking tour, Miguel, Todd, and myself. We're going around the whole Mid-Atlantic region, hitting up New York and Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, and D.C., New Jersey a little bit too. And so we're basically going around talking about a couple different things, roots of migration and the Oaxaca crisis. Wins for Peace, for those who don't know, is really focused primarily on U.S. policies towards Latin America. Started out back in the early 1980s when a bunch of folks went down to Nicaragua to figure out what the Contra conflict was all about. Hearing from people like Ronald Reagan that these were freedom fighters, and hearing from people like Amnesty International and other groups that they were committing massacres. A group went down to figure out what was going on, see firsthand the impacts of U.S. policies since we were funding the Contras, and decided that they had to do something about that. So they came back, got organized, and tried to stop funding for the Contras. Since then, we've been really focused on a variety of crises, not just the Contra crisis happening in Latin America, opened up offices in Haiti, Guatemala, Mexico, Bolivia, Cuba, Nicaragua, and Colombia. And now what we're focusing on are a couple of different things, but two primary crises that we see right now are that are hot topics are the Oaxaca crisis and migration, obviously. So Miguel focuses on both of those through his work in Oaxaca, Mexico, and we're taking him around so that he can so his megaphone can be all the louder here in the United States to talk about not just these crises, but what are the roots of migration? What are the roots of the crisis in Mexico, in Oaxaca, and do they have anything as well to do with the United States government as they did back during the Contra War? And so he works with the organization at Educa, which, as you said, is it's an organization trying to improve alternative forms of education. It also advocates a lot for indigenous rights in the local area, both economic and social and cultural rights of the indigenous community in Oaxaca. And that organization really was at the center of the uprising that happened last year in Oaxaca.
Which organization?
Educa.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he could Miguel could explain more in detail about it, if you like.
Well, why don't we start with that? What was the role of Educa in the uprising last year?
¿Qué fue el papel de Educa el año pasado en el levantamiento?
Sí, la organización que represento, Educa, formó parte de la Asamblea Popular de los Pueblos de Oaxaca.
The organization that I represent, Educa, was a part of the Popular Assembly of the Peoples of Oaxaca, or the APO.
Participamos en el Consejo de la Asamblea Popular de los Pueblos de Oaxaca y realizamos acciones de difusión sobre el conflicto y de cabildeo con autoridades mexicanas y autoridades de otros países.
We participated in the council of the APO. We helped a lot with getting the word out about what was happening with the social movement, and we also had lobbying efforts with the Mexican government and outside of the country as well.
Siempre en la idea de plantear soluciones al conflicto de Oaxaca, solución a las demandas y los derechos del pueblo oaxaqueño, pero también planteando acciones no violentas y pacíficas en el conflicto.
So we are always proposing solutions to the Oaxacan conflict or the crisis, to the crisis. We are also putting forth the demands of the movement to the Oaxacan crisis, and we are always proposing actions as well, actions that were our nonviolent actions.
Este es el papel de nuestra organización y en este momento nos encontramos en una gira con Acción Permanente por la Paz tratando de difundir la problemática y hacer cabildeo con algunos congresistas de Estados Unidos.
And this is the role of our organization, and right now we're doing a tour with the organization Witness for Peace, and we're trying to get the word out about what's happening in Oaxaca and also lobby some congresspeople while we're here in the United States.
Ya que actualmente nos preocupan tres temas claves en México, uno que es el tema migratorio, dos que es el tema de la cooperación militar del gobierno de Estados Unidos con el gobierno mexicano, y el tercero es el tema de la apertura comercial.
There are three principal concerns that we have right now, and the first concern as far as the relationship with Mexico and the United States, the first is migration. The second is the military aid package, that the cooperation that the United States wants to do as far as sending military aid to Mexico. And the third thing is the opening up of the free trade model that's in Mexico.
Este es el trabajo que estamos haciendo entonces en esta gira por Estados Unidos.
And this is the work that we're doing in this tour that I'm doing here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well, could you tell us something about the day-to-day work of Educa? I mean, the role of the teachers' strike in Oaxaca was very critical in initiating the uprising. So what is the actual day-to-day work of Educa?
¿Qué fue el trabajo? ¿Qué es el trabajo que hace el diario Educa? ¿No? Sabemos muy bien que la huelga de los maestros fue lo que desató el conflicto en Oaxaca. Pero ¿qué hacen ustedes en Educa cada día?
Sí, Educa trabaja en el día a día en tres programas. Uno que le llamamos Promover la Participación Ciudadana en Oaxaca.
We have three programs, and the first one is a program to promote citizenship in the state of Oaxaca.
Trabajamos el tema de la defensoría y de la difusión de una cultura de derechos humanos.
We participate, or a program is not only the defense, but getting the word out about human rights in the Oaxacan communities.
Trabajamos pequeños proyectos de desarrollo comunitario promoviendo una cultura de consumo justo y responsable.
And we also do a number of development projects trying to promote a just economic situation in the communities.
Y capacitamos a líderes indígenas que en Oaxaca realizan actividades de gobierno en sus ayuntamientos o en sus comunidades.
And we also give trainings to indigenous leaders that are
who are authority figures in their communities.
Este es el trabajo que hace Educa, por eso decimos que nuestros dos grandes ejes de trabajo en Oaxaca es promover el desarrollo y la democracia en nuestro estado.
So this is the work of Educa, and this is why we say that the principal things that we're doing as our work is to promote the development,
desarrollo, democracia,
and democracy in Oaxaca.
Mm-hmm. And what parts of the state are you active in?
¿En qué partes del estado están activos?
En Oaxaca trabajamos en la región de la costa oaxaqueña, en la región de la Sierra Norte y en la región de la cuenca del Papaloapan, básicamente con cerca de 25 municipios indígenas.
So we work in basically 25 indigenous municipalities, including the coast, the southern mountain region, the northern mountain region, and a region called the Cuenca de Papaloapan.
Mm-hmm. Papaloapan Valley, or watershed. Educa has existed since when? When was it founded?
¿En qué año se fundó Educa?
Educa se funda en el año de 1994, en el año que se dan en el país dos acontecimientos importantes. Uno, el levantamiento zapatista el primero de enero de 1994, y el otro que es el inicio del Tratado de Libre Comercio de México con Norteamérica.
Educa was founded in the year 1994, a year when two very important events happened in Mexico. The first event was the Zapatista uprising, and the second event was the implementation of the North American Free Trade Agreement.
Son estos dos acontecimientos los que motivan el surgimiento de Educa, porque pensamos que las condiciones en el país propiciaban la iniciativa de organización de las comunidades y organizaciones del Estado.
It was these two events that really motivated the emergence of Educa, because we thought that the conditions that were being generated in the country were certainly bringing opportunities for people to organize or bring organizations into existence.
And particularly the constitutional changes which followed the... as a result of the peace dialogue with the Zapatistas, had a great impact in Oaxaca. Could you tell us something about that?
Los cambios de constitucionales después de como los diálogos con los Zapatistas y los acuerdos de paz, esos cambios tuvo un impacto en Oaxaca, ¿verdad? ¿Puedes decir un poco de eso?
Ha tenido un impacto en Oaxaca de manera importante, ya que en Oaxaca se reconoció en el año de 1995 las elecciones por usos y costumbres en las comunidades indígenas de Oaxaca.
Yes, this has had a very, very important effect in Oaxaca. In fact, in the year 1995, it was recognized in the state constitution of Oaxaca the use of what's called usos y costumbres in the state, which is basically that our communities can determine their own political authorities by whatever process that they deem valid for their particular community.
Sin embargo, a nivel federal no se logró plasmar en la Constitución de la República Mexicana los acuerdos de San Andrés que había suscrito el Ejército Zapatista con el gobierno mexicano.
Nevertheless, the Mexican government never in the federal constitution was able to put in the agreements of the San Andrés Accords, which was agreed to between the Zapatistas and the federal government.
En México decimos que los Zapatistas siguen siendo los poseedores y propietarios de la tierra, siguen sin tener el derecho de gozar y disfrutar de sus recursos naturales. Esta es una regresión en materia legislativa en México.
So, and this has been just going backwards in terms of legislation in Mexico. We still say that the Zapatistas are the owners of their own lands. They should be able to own and enjoy their own lands. And this is not what has happened, especially as the legislation was never implemented in the Constitution.
And yet this system of usos y costumbres exists I believe, in the majority of the municipalities in Oaxaca.
Este sistema de usos y costumbres sí existe en la mayoría de los municipios en Oaxaca, ¿verdad?
Sí, por supuesto. De 570 municipios que conforman el territorio oaxaqueño, 418 eligen a sus autoridades por normas comunitarias propias.
So, of the 570 municipalities or counties that are in the state of Oaxaca, 418 communities use this usos y costumbres to name their own authority figures.
Esto hace que al menos en el terreno político, los pueblos indígenas en Oaxaca puedan tener una autonomía política.
So, at least, I'm thinking about... In the political sphere, the people, the indigenous people of Oaxaca, can have autonomy on the political level.
Mm-hmm. And this system of uses and customs would be the literal translation. Usos y costumbres sort of became the model for the uprising of the Apo last year, correct?
Ese sistema de usos y costumbres se convirtió en el modelo de la levantamiento de la Apo el año pasado, ¿verdad?
Sí, prácticamente, porque los usos y costumbres o las formas de organización comunitaria se basan en cuatro elementos fundamentales. Uno, la celebración de la fiesta. Dos, la celebración del poder comunitario. Tres, el trabajo colectivo, que es el tequio. Y cuarto, el sistema de cargos, que son los servicios. Esta es la estructura política y organizativa clave en que se basa también la Asamblea Popular de los Pueblos de Oaxaca.
Yes, it had a tremendous impact on the APO, and one of the reasons why is there's four key pillars to the way communities organize under uses and customs in Oaxaca, and the four pillars are: one, the people organize around celebrating their fiestas or their celebrations or festivals. Two is that people come together and organize to name their political power or the political power within the community. Three is the collective work that people do together, which is called the tequio. And fourth is community service, how people come together and do community service. So these four pillars of organization played into the movement.
Mm-hmm. And this is something which is deeply, this is a question I've always had about the situation. I mean, this is a system, usos y costumbres, which is deeply rooted in the indigenous past. And for instance, this notion of a tequio is something which goes back probably to pre-Columbian times. It's a Nahuatl word, I assume. And yet, this system has only been officially recognized for about 10 years. So how did the system of usos y costumbres survive in the interim before it was officially recognized?
Entonces, esto es una pregunta que tengo yo. Usos y costumbres, como viene de como tiempos muy antiguos, ¿verdad? Y hasta precolombianos, ¿verdad? Entonces, ese como término, el tequio, como, bueno, la pregunta es como oficialmente es reconocido por 10 años, pero ¿cómo sobrevivió por todos esos años antes de los últimos 10 años?
Claro, lo que partimos de la idea nosotros de que la cultura y la costumbre no es estática, es dinámica y está en constante renovación.
So what we say is that customs and cultures are not static. They're always dynamic, and they're always in a way. They're always evolving.
Los pueblos indígenas en Oaxaca siguen el dicho de renovarse o morir. Es decir, son culturas que constantemente también están en cambios.
So the peoples in Oaxaca, the indigenous peoples in Oaxaca, are under. They have a philosophy that's either renovate yourselves or die. So they're constantly in this evolutionary process.
En muchos de los municipios se han mantenido estructuras organizativas, dinámicas de organización que datan de muchos años atrás.
In lots of municipalities, they have maintained forms of organization that come from many, many years in the past.
Pero que se han venido adaptando a las nuevas necesidades comunitarias. Lo que nosotros decimos es que los usos y costumbres son como pactos continuos que se están haciendo en las comunidades.
So the idea of The idea of this evolution, it's been evolving to react to the new reality in each community. And what we describe usos y costumbres, or uses and customs, is almost like a continual ever-changing pact with the community.
Eso hace que las culturas estén resistiendo permanentemente los embates del capitalismo, de la globalización. Son culturas vivas y dinámicas.
So this makes that the communities are in almost a permanent resistance against capitalism and globalization.
Culturas dinámicas.
And they're constantly dynamic cultures.
Si decimos que las comunidades en la actualidad por algo han resistido y han aguantado, es porque mantienen costumbres antiguas y costumbres nuevas.
And if we're going to say that the communities have resisted, that comes from the fact that they have
nuevas costumbres antiguas.
And they have old customs and new customs that's bringing them forth.
So this is not something which is like a static relic from the past, but something which is still in the process of evolution.
No es algo estático del pasado, es algo en evolución.
Sí, claro, porque ahora mucha gente dice que los usos y costumbres violan los derechos humanos, dice que los indígenas no permiten la participación de las mujeres, y esta es una acusación de alguna manera falsa que se hace a los pueblos indígenas.
So yes, and it's also that many people are saying that the idea of using uses and customs is violating human rights, and it's even not allowing women to be able to participate in the community, and there is some truth to that.
Más allá del bien individual, lo que se preserva en las comunidades es el bienestar colectivo. Eso es lo que le da la fuerza comunitaria y lo que hace que sigan resistiendo.
So what gives the community the force, is the force, or how they continue to be able to resist, is that the idea of uses and customs has the community organizing in a collective way rather than an individual way, thinking about the well-being of the community instead of the individual.
Mm-hmm. And most significantly, getting away from the formalistic party system or model of democracy and actually ruling through a more direct democracy model of popular assemblies, which was actually last year implemented on a statewide level by the APO. Now, it was just about a year ago. I'm sorry if I'm giving you a lot to translate there, Todd, but it was just about a year ago that the federal police were sent in and the movement was put down. We haven't heard so much about Oaxaca since then, so tell us a bit about where things stand at the moment.
Y como también como alejándose como de los partidos políticos oficial fue algo de eso también. Pero el año pasado fue en Oaxaca cuando entró la Policía Federal. Y la pregunta es como desde ese momento no hemos escuchado mucho de lo que está pasando en Oaxaca. Entonces, ¿qué está pasando ahorita en Oaxaca? ¿O qué ha pasado desde cuando entraron como la policía hasta ahora en Oaxaca?
Sí, en este mes, el mes de octubre, el 29 de octubre, se cumple un año de la entrada de la Policía Federal Preventiva.
In this month, on October 29th, it will be the one-year anniversary of the entrance of the Federal Preventative Police.
Pero antes, el 27 de octubre, se cumple un año del asesinato del periodista de Indymedia, Brad Will.
But before that, on the October 27th, it will be the one-year anniversary of the assassination of Brad Will.
Que fue de alguna manera la muerte de Brad Will el pretexto que utilizó el gobierno mexicano para hacer que entrara la fuerza pública federal a Oaxaca.
And it was the death of Brad Will that the Mexican government used as a justification to bring in the armed forces to repress the movement.
Entonces la gente que nos escucha seguramente se está preguntando, entonces, ¿qué pasó después de la entrada de la PFF? Porque ya no se ha sabido nada de la situación en Oaxaca.
So maybe the people that are listening are asking what happened after the federal police came in, because we haven't heard anything about what's happened in Oaxaca since then.
El gobierno federal implementó un plan, una estrategia en tres sentidos que le resultó muy eficaz.
And the federal government implemented a plan with three principal strategies that were really efficient.
La primera fue criminalizar al movimiento, es decir, señalar al movimiento como un movimiento solamente de delincuentes y sin ninguna propuesta ni demanda social.
The first thing was to criminalize the movement and to define the movement as criminals with no sort of social proposal.
Una vez logrado este objetivo, eso hizo que se justificara el uso de la fuerza pública, y durante ese tiempo tuvimos más de 200 detenciones en Oaxaca, detenciones arbitrarias.
And after they successfully criminalized the movement, this justified the following repression. And since then, there's been over 200 arbitrary detentions in Oaxaca.
Y la tercera estrategia fue debilitar al movimiento social de manera tal que quedara este movimiento prácticamente descabezado y de que el gobierno pudiera instalar una, entre comillas, paz de los sepulcros en Oaxaca.
And the third thing was to be able to weaken the social movement, practically take away the entire leadership or the head or what was leading the movement, and this worked, and they pretty much created a piece of the funeral.
Entonces, en Oaxaca se vive aparentemente una normalidad que, bueno, lo que nos preocupa es que en un momento pueda reventar nuevamente en un conflicto y una crisis social.
In Oaxaca right now there's this what appears to be what is normality, but at any moment a social crisis can explode again.
No, I'm sorry, what was the reference to? I've lost you for a minute. The piece of the funeral?
The pasta de sepulcro. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha, yeah, right, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The piece of the funeral, or that sort of contradiction of
yes.
a piece and over death.
Piece of the graveyard, yes.
Piece of the graveyard, thank you.
Okay, another question which I've had, being unable to get down to Oaxaca and relying on the news sources here, even the Mexican newspapers tend to concentrate on the situation in the capital city of Oaxaca. But I understand that this movement existed in the rural areas of the state as well. So what's going on in the Sierra Mixteca and the other remote areas of the state? Is there still, in some areas, a system of dual power, so to speak?
Entonces, como sigo... Aún en los periódicos en México se concentra más en lo que está pasando en la capital, en la ciudad de Oaxaca. Entonces, ¿qué está pasando en otras partes de Oaxaca, en las regiones más remotas? ¿Cómo qué está pasando en la Mixteca? ¿Cómo sigue en este
sistema de poder dual, no?
Sí, en las comunidades están pasando cosas muy interesantes, que lástima que no están tan documentadas hacia afuera.
In the communities, there's lots of interesting things that are happening. It's a shame that they're not being documented outside of the communities.
Por ponerles un ejemplo, en la Mixteca de la Costa hay un pueblo que está enfrentando un proyecto de les van a instalar una presa hidroeléctrica que se llama Paso de la Reina. Esta presa la va a hacer la Comisión Federal de Electricidad con inversión externa.
For example, in the coastal region of the Mixteca, there's a large project, a hydroelectric dam project that the communities are resisting, and this dam project is called the Paso de la Reina. It's getting put forth by the Federal Electricity Commission.
Hay pueblos que van a ser desplazados, otros pueblos que van a ser arrasados por la presa que se va a instalar, la cortina de la presa que se va a instalar, y entonces están iniciando un proceso de organización para enfrentar este proyecto que se pretende instalar.
So there are going to be people that are displaced. There's going to be communities that are going to be completely wiped out by this dam or near where they're putting the dam wall. And so the communities are initiating a process of organization to be able to resist this project.
This is the Benito Juarez prison? Benito Juarez Hydro Dam?
Es Benito Juárez, la presa de Benito Juárez.
No es otra presa, es una presa que apenas está en proyecto.
It's a dam that's just barely beginning to start.
Y supuestamente va a generar energía eléctrica para Centroamérica, se inscribe en lo que se llama el Plan Puebla-Panamá, y también para la zona turística de la costa, Huatulco y Acapulco.
So this it's supposedly going to generate electricity for both Central America, or cities in Central America, and the touristic part of the coast of Oaxaca, which we're talking about the tourist town of Huatulco.
And this is on which river?
¿En qué río?
En el río, en la afluente del río Verde. Es uno de los ríos con un caudal más fuerte del estado de Oaxaca.
One of the strongest rivers in the state of Oaxaca, and this river is called the River Verde, the Green River.
Okay, have we got some, are you bringing us, Bob, are you bringing us some names to read?
No.
You're not bringing us names to read. How disappointing. Well, the tally does stand at $150, which is not too bad, but given that we made around 10 times that much last week, I'm expecting more people to call in. Now, we're going to cut to a little bit of music now, I would say, because it's 2 minutes after 1 o'clock in the morning here on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM. And this is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, and we are speaking with Miguel Ángel Vázquez of the Servicios para una Educación Alternativa, or Services for Alternative Education, EDUCA. In Oaxaca, Mexico, and translating for us is Todd Miller of Witness for Peace, and also joining us is Ben Beachy of Witness for Peace. And this is, once again, the kind of programming that you can't get anywhere else, so please do get on the phone and show us how much you love us by calling 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Now, you know, last week when we pretty much just, you know, clobbered you over the head with the telephone number and played really delicious music to tantalize you, we did really well. Now, this week, we've actually got a very important interview, so we, you know, we're actually taking the time to bring you some really, I think, critically important content, which you can't get anywhere else. So, we really do urge you all to call 212-209-2950. See if we can jack that tally at least up to 200. Otherwise, it's going to be pretty humiliating. So if you appreciate what we do here on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, if you appreciate interviews with activists like Miguel and cutting-edge reportage, first-hand reportage from struggles in places like Oaxaca, if you appreciate what Emery Hendrickson does with her deconstructions of popular culture and her wry commentaries, and if you appreciate all the wonderful music which we play, and if you appreciate the alternative perspectives, which you can only get on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, once again, the alternative to the alternative to the alternative, then please show us how much you love us. Call 212-209-2950. Okay, rather than play another cut from the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's greatest hits, Miguel brought us some music. So let's listen to a little bit of that while you call 212-209-2950, and I'll go back and see if the tally has moved up above $150.
El día 14 de junio del año del 2006, en la plaza de Oaxaca, se puso el mundo al revés. Temprano por la mañana, al punto de amanecer, nadie hubiera imaginado lo que iba a suceder.
La huelga del magisterio tenía la plaza a tomar, mientras el pinche gobierno preparaba la cela. Antes que amanezca
son, que de dónde son, que
acabó el gas y el valor, con la plaza enardecida y las fuerzas del gobierno salieron en estampida. Tocó con piedra el traidor que asalta de madrugada, porque hoy la gente en la calle ya lo espera en barricada.
¿De dónde son? ¿Que de dónde son? ¿Que son de la barricada? ¿De dónde son? ¿Que de dónde son? ¿Que son de la barricada? ¿De dónde son? ¿Que de dónde son? ¿Que son de la barricada? ¿De dónde? ¿De la barricada? ¿De dónde? ¿De la barricada? ¿De dónde? ¿De dónde son? ¿De dónde son? ¿De la barricada?
Right. Good stuff. Good stuff. It's got the traditional Mexican thing going on, and it's got the string quartet, and it's got some rapping. Miguel, ¿puede decir algo sobre esta música? ¿Quién fue?
Sí, el son de la barricada se compuso el año pasado. El que la compuso es Fernando Guadarrama, y la compuso en el contexto de la gente sale a instalar barricadas ante la inminente entrada de la Policía Federal Preventiva y el Ejército en Oaxaca.
The name of the band and the song actually is the Anthem of the Barricades, and or the Son de las Barricadas. The composer of the song is Fernando
Guadarrama. Oaxaqueño.
Sí, es oaxaqueño, es del municipio de Tuxtepec, colindando con Veracruz.
And yeah,
Tuxtepec.
He's from Tuxtepec. But the song itself was in tribute to the barricades that people put up in the city streets last year. Before the threat of the entrance of the PFP or the Federal Preventive Police or the Army.
Pero además la canción es una mezcla de géneros muy interesante. Mm-hmm. Es el son, pero como una especie de corrido y con un rap que le pone ahí. Entonces es muy interesante esta creación oaxaqueña.
So, but the mixture of music types of genres that you see in this particular song are very interesting. For one, you have the anthem, you have the corrido, the traditional Mexican northern corrido, and also a bit of rap, which brings almost a Oaxacan creation.
And the string quartet, making it even more eclectic.
Y como con los violinas y todo eso.
Sí, porque se utilizan muchos instrumentos que utilizan en la música tradicional de Oaxaca, incluso con la jarana, incluso con un instrumento que es como una mandíbula de burro. Entonces, utilizan instrumentos también de la cultura oaxaqueña.
Yeah, so different instruments or traditional instruments, Oaxacan instruments, have been used, like the jarana, which is almost is an instrument used that is made by using the jaw of a donkey.
Sí. Mm-hmm. ¿De veras? ¿Es un instrumento con cuerdas?
¿Con cuerdas?
Yeah. No, es un instrumento como una percusión.
Mm-hmm. It's like a percussion mm-hmm. instrument. It's like a drum. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I should say that, in fact, the tally does stand at 150, which is rather disappointing. I want to give a big, big, big shout-out to our good friend Robert Erler of New York, New York, and Eric Volpe of Hoboken, both friends of ours here on the More Orthodox Radio Crusade. So it would be good if we could get some strangers calling in. That would really make us feel a lot better. 212-209-2950 is the number. But a big thank you to Bob and Eric. Really, really appreciate it. But let's get some other folks calling in. 212-209-2950. If we could just get a pledge of $50 for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's greatest hits, we could get the tally up to $200, and that would look a hell of a lot better than $150. So please, in the remaining 20 minutes that we have with our special guest, Miguel, please call 212-209-2950. Just pledge $50. Just one person will call and pledge $50, become a member of WBAI, send a message to the powers that be here at WBAI that you appreciate what we do here on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, and that even at BAI there has to be a dissident voice, as it were. Get this wonderful music. Just get, you know, the one CD set, the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits, Volume 2, which, has got the, just a one, is how many cuts on it? There's, let's see, how many cuts are on this CD? It looks like there's, 13 cuts from all over the world, from India, from Brazil, from Venezuela, from Mali, from Chicago, Ithaca, some local talent from Ithaca, New York. Please call 212-209-2950 while we continue with our interview. And just somebody pledge $50, get the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's Greatest Hits, Volume 2. Well, you know that all the music which we play on this show is absolutely delicious, so you know that you can't possibly go wrong. Please call 212-209-2950. Also, we only have one volunteer back there. We need more volunteers. So please, if you can't afford to pledge any money, please come down to the station and help out that way. Once again, the number is 212-209-2950. Okay, well, recently in the headlines was a story in the Washington Post that the U.S. Congress is preparing what they are insisting is not Plan Mexico, like Plan Colombia, but it's going to be a big multi-billion dollar, multi-year drug war military aid package for Mexico. And certainly there's been a rather frightening escalation of violence in Mexico over the past year, even apart from the political repression, just crime and drug-related violence. So perhaps Miguel could tell us a bit about where he sees this dynamic going.
Entonces, hace poco salió es como sobre el Plan México en las portadas de los periódicos principales en los Estados Unidos. Y como están hablando de como un plan, bueno, están diciendo que, bueno, esto no es Plan México, no tiene que nada que ver con este Plan Colombia. Pero están hablando de como un paquete militar multimillonario, como que se supone que va en contra de como los narcotraficantes, ¿no? Y además como de como la violencia política que hemos visto en México en el año pasado ha aumentado, como el crimen, como la violencia en general también, y como, pero no sé si puedes tú comentarnos un poco sobre esa dinámica de ese paquete de asistencia militar.
Sí, yo creo que hay que decir en principio que ha existido lo que se llama colaboración económica del gobierno de Estados Unidos con el gobierno mexicano.
At first, I just want to say that there has been economic collaboration in the past between the United States, between the government of the United States and the government of Mexico.
Ha existido también lo que se llama cooperación para la seguridad entre el gobierno de Estados Unidos y el gobierno de México.
And there has existed what is called security cooperation between the government of the United States and the government of Mexico.
En la actualidad, el gobierno mexicano, con el pretexto de que la delincuencia organizada y el narcotráfico han salido de sus manos, estableció una cooperación de otro tipo con el gobierno de Estados Unidos.
And right now, the Mexican government, using the justification of that organized crime is out of hand for them, has now begun this new
attempt at cooperation or security cooperation with the United States.
Se ha estado entonces concretando un paquete de colaboración militar y asistencia militar supuestamente para combatir el problema del narcotráfico en México.
So they are coming they're coming to the final phases of a plan that is a military collaboration or a military aid package which will go against the drug traffickers and the drug trafficking in Mexico.
Es preocupante que en México se han estado modificando las leyes, especialmente la ley penal en México, para que el gobierno mexicano pueda intervenir, por ejemplo, conversaciones telefónicas.
So it's very worrisome to us that Mexico has been changing its laws. It's been changing its penal laws so that now the Mexican government can intervene in even telephone conversations.
Hay una reforma, de hecho, en trámite que es preocupante. Cualquier persona considerada sospechoso puede ser cateado su domicilio, aunque no se tenga el permiso de esta persona.
And also another reform is that any person that's considered to be suspicious, that this person could have their house searched or be searched without any reason at all, just being suspicious.
Todo esto forma entonces un paquete de reformas a la legislación penal en México y también de ayuda militar, asistencia técnica y militar del gobierno de Estados Unidos.
So all of these legislative reforms that we're seeing to the penal law in Mexico and now this military and technical aid from the United States is worrisome.
Nosotros consideramos que de fondo el gobierno de Estados Unidos le ha vendido una idea errónea al gobierno mexicano.
And deep down inside, we believe that the government of the United States has sold an idea that is wrong to Mexico.
Y esta idea es, tus enemigos son mis enemigos. ¿Quiénes son tus enemigos? El narcotráfico, la delincuencia organizada, los grupos subversivos, el terrorismo.
And the idea that's been sold to Mexico is that your enemies are our enemies. Who are your enemies? They're the drug traffickers. They're the subversive groups. They're the terrorists.
Nosotros coincidimos con lo que ha dicho Amnistía Internacional, que en todo caso dice que los recursos se dispongan para una reforma en la impartición de justicia en México y no para comprar armamento.
And we share the view that Amnesty International shares about this military aid package, that the money that would be invested in this package should be, that the money should be better invested in reforming the judicial system in Mexico.
Esto quiere decir que México requiere adaptar su sistema de impartición de justicia antes que invertir en policías, fuerzas de seguridad o ejército.
That means that Mexico must change its judicial system before receiving any sort of investment to their armed forces or military.
But certainly the surgence of drug-related violence provides very convenient propaganda for this military aid package. So what is your program for how this can actually be addressed?
Could you repeat that? I'm sorry.
This recent huge surge of drug-related violence mm-hmm. provides very convenient propaganda for the military aid package. So what is your program for how this can be addressed?
Este surgimiento de como la violencia de los narcotraficantes está creando justificaciones, pretextos para este paquete de asistencia militar. ¿Cómo que respondes?
Sí, claro. Lo que nosotros coincidimos es que hay una fascistización del Estado. Es decir, el Estado mexicano se encamina hacia un cierto tipo de fascismo.
We think that right now we're seeing that the Mexican government is turning fascist. They're turning into a fascist state.
En esta idea del nuevo fascismo mexicano, las condiciones de seguridad o de inseguridad pública tienen que llevarse al extremo para que entonces el gobierno mexicano justifique el uso de la fuerza pública.
So, looking at the state of fascism that the Mexican government is arriving to, So the ideas of security or insecurity have to reach such an extreme, for them to then justify bringing in the armed forces and the military.
El problema del narcotráfico en México no es de ahora, no es reciente, tiene muchos años atrás, pero antes los gobiernos mexicanos podían establecer cierto tipo de negociaciones con el narcotráfico. En la actualidad se han salido de alguna manera de control los grupos del narcotráfico.
Drug trafficking has been around in Mexico for many, many, many years. It goes back many years, and in the past, the Mexican government has been able to have some sort of negotiation with the drug traffickers. But now this has gone. Now this is no longer the case. A lot of things are going out of control with the drug trafficking.
Por eso, en la actualidad, la disputa de los mercados del narcotráfico pues han devenido en ejecuciones de personas. En la lucha entre bandas criminales en México, y el gobierno pareciera que perdió control sobre esta situación.
So what's going on with the drug trafficking cartels right now? There's all kinds of executions going on. There's different cartels or criminal groups that are having violent confrontations, and a lot of this has just gone awry for the Mexican government. It's out of control.
And I imagine that the explosion of the narco economy has a lot to do with the free trade model and peasants being forced from their lands and people being deprived of any other means of seeking a livelihood, which also brings us to some of the roots of what's perceived in this country as a crisis of immigration, unfortunately too frequently perceived as a crisis of immigration.
Mm-hmm. Y esto como tiene que ver, bueno, la explosión de la eso narcoeconomía tiene mucho que ver con lo que está pasando con los campesinos en el campo, ¿no? Y como no hay muchas oportunidades económicas, y eso son la próxima cosa, son las raíces de la migración y lo que llamamos en nuestro país a veces desgraciadamente como la crisis de la migración.
Sí, una de las raíces de la migración es que el campesino, al no poder trabajar su tierra, no tiene otra opción más que venderla, ahora con las reformas constitucionales en el país, vender su tierra y salir a trabajar al norte del país o a Estados Unidos.
So yeah, that's definitely the case. Right now, the small farmer cannot work on their land. They have no choice but to sell their land, and this has a lot to do with the constitutional reforms that have happened. So they sell their land, and then they migrate to the north and to the United States of America.
En Oaxaca decimos que en su mayoría consumimos la manzana que cultivan y producen campesinos oaxaqueños, pero en California, y no la que producen campesinos de Oaxaca en la Sierra de Oaxaca.
In Oaxaca, we say that we consume the apples that are produced by Oaxacan migrants in California, but we're not consuming the apples that are being produced by small Oaxacan farmers in Oaxaca.
Ese es un problema complejo. Nosotros pensamos que se requiere revisar el acuerdo de libre comercio en lo que tiene que ver con el capítulo agropecuario para generar condiciones de competencia más equitativas.
So this is a very complex problem, and we're saying that we should retake a look at the North American Free Trade Agreement, and especially look at the agricultural chapter of the North American Free Trade Agreement, and try to renegotiate conditions that might be more equitable.
Mm-hmm. Well, I should say that we just have around 3 or 4 minutes left. The tally did jump up to $200, which is pretty good. And we want to give a big thanks to Robert Minichino from Haskell, New Jersey. Thank you very, very much, Robert. Please do keep the calls coming at 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Miguel, how much longer are you around the New York area? Do you have any other meetings that you're going to be hosting here before you move on?
In New York City?
Yeah.
¿Por cuánto más tiempo estás aquí en la ciudad de Nueva York?
En la ciudad de Nueva York.
¿Y vas a hacer más eventos aquí?
Sí, en la ciudad de Nueva York hasta el día de mañana, pero tenemos más eventos en Albany, en Filadelfia, en Pittsburgh, en Washington. Seguimos haciendo acciones de difusión de la problemática de Oaxaca.
Tomorrow we are leaving New York City, but we're going to have more events in all kinds of different cities, Albany, other cities throughout New York, also Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Washington, and we're going to be able to get out the word about what's happening in Oaxaca and in the Oaxacan crisis.
Okay, and you did have one event that you wanted to announce, right, Ben?
Yeah, that's right. Probably the best way to learn about Oaxaca is to go there. And so if anyone would be interested, Witness for Peace is hosting a delegation to Oaxaca to learn firsthand, using your own eyes and ears, about what's going on in Oaxaca and what the U.S. has to do with it. The plan is March 1 through 9 would be the delegation. We go down there and we'd meet with Miguel and his organization. We'd meet with other organizations that were at the center of the popular uprising last year. We would stay with host families who have sent a number of their neighbors, family, and friends to the United States as illegal immigrants. Yeah, you would explore the roots of migration and how to what extent free trade has to do with that, and the roots of the crisis that erupted last year. So come see it for yourself. It's something Witness Peace is doing for 25 years, and we're proud to be doing it again this year in conjunction with Educa and with Miguel. So if you are interested, look at witnessforpeace.org online, or you can contact me at wfpma@witnessforpeace.org. wfpma@witnessforpeace.org. Once again, the dates are March 1 through 9, and we're going to Oaxaca.
Okay, very good. All right, well, this has been a real honor. Muchísimo gracias para esta oportunidad hablar con usted, Miguel Ángel Vázquez.
Gracias, Bill, y te agradecemos nuevamente la apertura en tu programa.
Thank you very much, Bill, and we thank you again for opening yourself to us in your program.
As well as Ben Beachy and Todd Miller of Witness for Peace. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
And with that, okay, the tally stands at 200, so please keep the calls coming at 209-2950, 212-209-2950. And just to give you a taste of what you'll get for a pledge of $100, the Marshall Orthodox Radio Crusade will go out with a little bit of rock en español from El Suribundo Ferna from Bogota, Colombia, with their huge underground hit, Jihad Latino. Stay tuned for Weaponry with Tom Whisker and Bob Santucci coming up next. See you next week, and Salam Aleikum.
Remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.